Have you suddenly been overcome with an irresistible urge to wash your potato? Have you begun to open your eyes and are trying to make sense out of the world you're seeing around you? Then you've come to the right place. Are you the hundreds monkey? What's really going on? Prepare yourself for a journey with Tom and Ramon as we continue our search for the hundredth monkey on the Hundredth Monkey Radio. And if you enjoy the information you hear on our first hour, become a member to the 100th Monkey Radio and have access to all our second hour material. Beginning with our October 2nd show, we're going to a membership format. For those of you who wish to save a couple of extra bucks, if you sign up before the show on October 2nd, you can lock in your yearly membership for as long as your account is active. And thanks to all our members and subscribers who've already signed up, we really appreciate your support. And you can go and sign up at www.thehundredthmonkey.com on the membership page. And while you're there, let's see, I'd suggest you check out the Dam and Her links there. We're planning that trip to Dam and Her in the end of May, the beginning of June next year. And, boy, that's just looking like it's going to be a blast. The links will take you to the Dam and Her site where you can take a look at all the stuff going on there. And we try to keep some of the more current and very interesting videos posted on our video page and video links page. And we're going to be trying to add quite a bit more video content, interviews, et cetera, as time goes on. And hopefully making this move for Ramon and I will be able to actually devote a little bit more time to the show and bringing the kind of information that we want to get out there to everybody. Okay, so Ramon, who have we got tonight?
Tonight we have Sonia Barrett. As you remember, we had her a couple months ago. So after this one, if you haven't heard the first one, listen in. On the archives. Sonia, how are you today?
I am very well, thank you. I'm well. Thank you so much. Good
to
be
back. Thank you for coming back. Yeah. Did you miss us?
Well, actually, you threatened me, which is why I'm on. I'm just kidding. No.
Well, you know, we gotta get our guests somehow or another, you know?
Yeah.
By whatever means necessary.
Yeah.
No, it's good to be back. You guys were fun the last time, so.
Well, I think.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you have a new book out. The last time we talked, you had the, I'm blanking out.
Holographic canvas.
Holographic canvas.
Yeah. Right. And the other one isn't out as yet, actually. It's in the process. It's got a little held up. The Cosmic Game in 3D.
Right. I was reading on your site that as things are progressing in your life, you're finding other things that you need to put in that book.
Oh, believe me. Yeah. It ended up being very different. And, you know, I unlike maybe many people where they'll sit to write a book tucked away, my writing is just a little bit different. So I just let go and I follow it and I just don't write from my head. And it could be probably a little frustrating for other people, but I really have to follow that so that what I'm writing is going to be, you know, very, very alive. And that's what happened. I thought I was doing one thing and then all this other information started to kind of pour in. And then I realized, oh, this is really going in a whole other direction. And then I started growing with that change. So then I, just like the first book, I had to step away at various points to sort of grow and expand with the information and then come back. And so that's basically kind of what happened. It's just going into some really talk about out the box, you know, stuff that has to do, you know, with science and so on. But yeah, fascinating to me anyway. Mm-hmm.
So, well, I want to jump right into the things that are happening in this world. Things are going so fast right now. Changes are happening on a minute by minute basis. We have, I mean, yeah, just since we talked, what was it, back in March or something like that? Just since then, I have seen at least the people that I'm noticing that are interested in understanding what's really going on in life. That number has skyrocketed, and it's just amazing to look out there and watch. So, have you noticed the same thing happening?
That's what I hear. I don't know where I am most of the time. I'm like on a whole other planet. But no, that I've heard that from a lot of people. That they noticed that a major shift in people's curiosity, and so I have to honestly say I really don't know, and I'm going to tell you the reason why in case people are going, well, how does she not know? It's because most of the people that somehow I'm interacting with, or the people who come to the workshops, or the people who read any of the stuff that I write, or the lectures, or whatever the case may be, seem to be people who were already in that direction. And so it just seems like I don't really interact with I don't really see the other people per se. I don't know. And then I integrate. Now, when I go out and do like normal things, like go to a jazz concert or whatever the case may be, I do notice, I must say, that I'm able to, because I don't bring up anything that I talk about with people. I don't force it on anybody. If a dialogue happens to come up around something that might be, you know, a little bit outside the norm, I kind of listen to where they're coming from. And I do find in that sense that I'm able to integrate some sort of outside the box, what would be considered outside the box for these people, response that they're okay with. So I guess in essence, maybe it is happening and I just didn't notice until you asked me, but that's kind of how it is. I don't push anything on anybody. They don't even know I talk about any of this stuff. So I'm just kind of out there having a good time. And then if it happens to something comes up and there's an opening, then I kind of let them kind of lead to see where they're going with it. So that's kind of how it's been happening for me, but I'm having like a good time wherever it is I go. I'm having a great time with just people, regardless of whether they're what we would call, you know, really aware, really conscious. I find that even those people sometimes, you can learn so much from those people because I think there's a level of innocence there too. And sometimes for the what we would call the conscious community, sometimes there's could be an overdose of certain things there too. But these people, since they're just kind of really, you know, open, sometimes you do learn some stuff from them as well. So that's kind of how I'm seeing, at least my world, the part of the world that I'm seeing.
Right. You know, I've found that a lot of times when I'll be out somewhere and in contemplation or you know, having that internal dialogue with myself, I'll find that conversations around me, if I look at it in a symbolic or metaphorical way, the conversations around me will be answering my questions inside my head.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, and I think it's, you know, I think that it's almost to some degree like that, not meaning that everything you encounter, everybody you encounter, they're, you know, answering a question that's going on in your head. But as you know, there are no coincidences. So it's like wherever we are and whoever we're dealing with, there's always some relevance there, even when it looks like there is none. There is something that that person or that situation is bringing into your experience. That's what I've noticed. is that it's there. You know, I don't know. You could bump into somebody on the street, I always say, and they say, excuse me, and it means something. You know, they could stop you from stepping off the curb 2 seconds earlier. I mean, so I think that maybe beginning to be able to see the connectivity, the how everything is so really connected. And I think we have sort of operated in a mode where we only saw the things that were connected because those are the things we wanted to see. But I think if we start opening our eyes, I think we will see that this amazing flow that's always happening. You know, it's like right. always happening. It's always been happening. Good, bad, and indifferent. And it's not just the things that we think are just like, oh, it's so wonderful. But I think everything is presenting itself for a dynamic reason. And then you can, you know, begin to shift what kind of experiences that you've been having. If it's not one that's bringing you joy, but even if it's not bringing you joy, there's a reason why it's not bringing you joy.
Yeah.
You can't quite get away from it, Tom.
Yeah. So for lack of a better term, the spiritual community mm-hmm. is cunning enough to put material out there that will have a effect on the masses enough that I don't know that the world wakes up in a massive form, mm-hmm. that consciousness wakes up in a massive form.
I definitely think that this is, we are in a time, a period where that is happening. That kind of thing is happening where people are putting out material and, you know, and people who are ready to move into that space. And I think you know, on that scale, even if I have never met these people, I do think that there are probably more people that are stepping into questioning. And so with that kind of material out there, there's something for everyone, you know, depending on where they are, because you and I might say, you know, explain something in two different ways, and somebody might listen to me and just not quite get it or not even vibe with it, but then you say it and, you know, they're like, wow, this is amazing. So right. I do see that it's a time for it, and it's like just triggers. You know, because we are all connected and coded with this information, because, you know, that's what we are. We're walking information. We're walking data. So it's a matter of what we're tapping into, what we're remembering. And most people are just busy in the game experience, in the 3D survival physical experience to have really noticed or tapped into some of these memories. And so with that information coming out there, it's triggering a memory. And with that memory being triggered, people are asking questions and stepping up. Now, will all these people necessarily have the same kind of profound level of awareness? Not necessarily. There's just so many different levels of awareness. You know, because you get people that that say, you know, they're part of this massive conscious community, and I always say, but that's so expansive. You know, what does that mean? I do know what it means on one level. There's a level of awareness, but it doesn't mean that everybody is on that same level of awareness, and that doesn't mean better than or less than. It just means that everybody's memory or desire to really connect with deeper levels of memory might not necessarily be at the same point, the same level, but it's still fine. They don't have to be. They're still living their journey at just maybe a more awakened level. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Not to just to switch change gears just a little bit. The show is being filmed. It's being recorded on what's today's date? September
The
fifth,
8th.
eighth. September 8th. So it will air the 11th. As we know, we'll be coming up to the 10th anniversary of the towers coming down. What's your take on that? And I don't know how much you dive into that sort of stuff, but as far as like consciousness and the way the consciousness, because for a lot of people that was an awakening moment.
Right. There's two sides to everything. There's, it's a polarized, reality. So, yeah, for some people it created a profound awakening experience, and for some people it just created something else. That's kind of a it's kind of a tough question. I'm like, how do I answer that question? Because I don't really like, I'm not part of the celebration of the anniversary of it. I'm not looking at the plane, going into the building 50 million times, as we will see it air over and over and over again, because I think on another level it does something else as well to a person's mind. And some people really, without realizing that's what it is, some people really kind of enjoy, and I'm using the word enjoy because there's a part of us that enjoys fear. There's a part of us that enjoys a lot of the very things that we say that we, strive to step away from. But then we also have to understand, we have to look at what people understand as well. So everybody's responding to that experience and this date that's coming up, in whatever way that they understand and what resonates for them. So anniversaries of certain things can be very interesting in terms of what we're actually doing, what we're actually recreating, what we're actually celebrating. It can be a very, very interesting science, I'm going to say, in terms of what's really going on. And I just sort of in a neutral, I recognize that that day is coming, but I don't have any movement on it one way or another, good or bad, or I'm just,
My question that just popped into my head was, what kind of programming are they going to, be
I was just.
successful with
Well,
putting
I'm glad you
across this
said
time?
it. I'm glad you said it because I'm like, okay, but I don't want to be Debbie Downer.
I was just thinking that too, Tom.
Well,
I'm like,
they will.
Debbie.
There's some smart cookies up there that know exactly
I
what they're
know.
doing with our consciousness, you know?
You're absolutely right. And it's, because I was trying to just figure, what I wanted to say around it and respond around it, because then it's, I don't want to squash anybody else's thing either. But at the same time, you're absolutely right. I mean, and it's not just with 9/11. Obviously, 9/11 is a massive imprint, and that's what we have to look at. It's a major, major imprint, and there's so much behind that whole 9/11 thing. It's so big in the sense of what really happened, and who did what the story actually was, and then did the story connect with, something else that is not even part of this time and space. There is a whole lot that's going on with imprints like that, things that trigger like that. So yes, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of people that are going to get their upload for certain things, and they will not be the wiser. And that's not just the people that we consider to be the unaware. A lot of the people that we recognize as conscious community, you'd be surprised. This thing plays in a lot of arenas. I'm not just talking this 9/11 thing, but the manipulation or those kinds of uploads are going on in so many different ways, and it yanks people in without them knowing that they're part of it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, it's almost like they get you in this mode of the fear, but more of the grief.
Oh my gosh, that grief.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's when they really you really get they really get you is the grief part, because we there's almost a level of guilt when we do not have if we feel that we're not grieving. There you're led to feel guilty if there is no grief, because grief to show grief is to really sort of show that you are committed to this. You're part of the experience. You're riding with this, and so there is that guilt that also goes on with this whole thing. But yeah, the grief definitely puts the brain in a whole different spin, and you're available. You're so readily available. And we also have to remember too, though, for those listening to the show, is that even though we talk about the they all the time, we also have to we have to begin to take responsibility for ourselves. And we just really have to. Those who are more aware, you have to begin to take responsibility for yourselves. And I think as we go on and on and on, and like you mentioned, with books coming out and different materials, I think that should be the thing, is for people to be triggered to begin to take responsibility for themselves. And that begins with asking questions and not going along with the crowd and this, the status quo.
Right.
So we are responsible for ourselves. The other thing too is that what's challenging for people to recognize is that when you listen to some of the people that said, "Oh, I always arrive, I would have been in the building, but my housekeeper was late, or I missed the cab, or I missed the bus," or I mean, you listen to all of that, you recognize that, everybody that was in that experience somehow it is somehow just part of their journey. And look at the people that would have been there, and for one reason or another, it would be the most unusual circumstances that happened for them not to be there. And we could see that with car accidents and so many situations where, other somebody might die, but this person lives, and you're like, well, how did they live through that? But our society doesn't really examine that. That is there something else? Is there something more? Why that person passed away, that person died, and that person lived, even though the situation should have been, equal in terms of them checking out of here. We're not taught to examine that. Nobody wants to hear about that.
Yeah, that's a big field, a huge field. I mean, there's so many documented cases of just that type of situation, and it's only people out here do in the oh, what's the right word for it? The fringe media, the alternative media that even look at this sort of thing. I mean, there are. Granted, there are a few scientists and people who have all the letters behind their names and all that actually have done some research into it, but they're like pushed over into the corner. They never get any type of publicity or real support
Oh no. Oh
for
no.
getting their
No.
information out there, because some of this stuff is just, you look at it and you just your jaw has to drop open. You go,
Absolutely.
okay, there's something else at work here.
Yeah, but then
Yeah.
if everybody were to start looking at it like that, then where would the guilt and the fear and the grief, where would all of those things come from? And then the control factor, wear your helmet, wear your seatbelt, where, I mean, if everybody got the fact that, wait a second, maybe there's something more here in terms of my story and my life, and I could put 200 seat belts on, and it's either that this is part of the course here for me, or it's not. But we don't hear that. We hear, oh, well, yeah, the person died because they didn't have their seatbelt on. Well, there's a whole bunch of people that died because they had their seatbelt. They had their seatbelt on as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would, I think it would be too much freedom. I think it would just create too much. We can't have stuff that's causing people to think and ask questions and, you know, I just don't think that. And be careful. That's what we always hear. Be careful. You know, that's what you hear from your born. Be careful.
Yep.
Yep.
Look both ways before you cross.
Yeah, be careful. You never know.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. In my family, there was a situation a couple weeks ago where there was a really bad accident. And my aunt was supposed to go with them they were going to Disney World. And they were coming up and she had this feeling not to go. Like she didn't want to go, and they kept saying, "Oh, you should come, you should come." She didn't go, and actually, that might have saved her life because a few people in the car passed away.
Wow, see, that's what I mean, though. It just you see it time and time again.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've heard so many stories of it.
Even parachutes not opening up. Even people with parachutes that didn't open up, but they lived and they only had like a bruise.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, what is that about? Or a plane crash where, you know, one person lives and everybody perishes. And I think that those are so significant. And I think another part of that is really also listening to your tuning in to that feeling that tells you, okay, well, maybe I don't know why, but I don't really feel like taking that trip. I really don't feel like going, you know, whatever it is. It's just like tuning in. And of course, there are other factors involved too, you know, that why people end up having to go where they go to meet their fate. So
okay, so Sonia, this leaves me with the question. All right. So what is going on?
What's going on? What do you mean? Where?
So.
Like where?
Okay. What's really going on here? What is working in the background? This is the grand cosmic plan thing, or is this God's plan, or is this the computer program that I didn't push enter, so I'm not going on that ride.
These are things that I do talk about, but it's usually requires a little bit. It's just more, oh gosh, there's it's simple, but at the same time there's so much more to it. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we have to remember that because we are made up of, we are data, we are information, and because we know that it's our, you know, consciousness, we are traveling all over, whatever all over means, you know, yet there's only this moment, but the experience. What we are dealing with is collected data, collected experiences. For every action, there is a reaction. There is this whole process that's working in people, in the sense of what they arrive in this experience we call reality, or we call planet Earth. You come with stuff. You come with baggage, or, you know, information. You come with information from your bloodline. You come with information from your ancestral line. You come in with that information, and then you're here, and your life is playing out also according to the information that you've come with. So you're living this experience according to what the information that you have, things that you need to do to fulfill whatever data, whatever that you've got in you. You're fulfilling this stuff. Now, I've done several workshops that cover all kinds of stuff, like the relationship matrix, stop running from the matrix. Just so many factors in the sense of how we are actually tied into certain situations, certain data streams, certain way our lives play out. Does it have to play out exactly that way? Well, it is going to play out in a particular sort of a pre-recorded kind of manner if the being in this life is in a very in a sleep state, in a very unaware state. And I'm not talking about like people who, you know, say, oh yes, we're very aware, we're very conscious, but then there is this limitation, there's this closed off, there's this closed offness. Making up words today. But and so there is this, there's an automated process that happens with how our lives are being played out. Does it have to happen that way? No. Those are now the things that I talk about that are just, I mean, they require, oh my gosh, I don't even have to tell you. They require so much more hours to even try to get into that. But I think people get the idea that it's what you come in with. It's what you carry in. Remember the DNA, it's all like computer, like a computer system. And you've got a lot of stuff recorded in there. And so, you know, you come into the family that you come into for a reason. And then, you know, they help you in terms of what the program needs to be or what you get involved in or what you lock yourself into or what boundaries you create for yourself, what your religious belief is. You know, all this packaged stuff that we end up living. And we do it because of whatever we kind of program we come in with until somebody actually snaps out of it. And so you just end up on that wheel over and over and over again until we start waking up to, wait a second, which is like, do I have to live any of this the way I've been living it? Does it have to be like this? And most people don't. Most people don't come into that that kind of awakeness, you know, at least not right in this lifetime as you and I know this lifetime to be. There's a lot of factors involved. And, you know, it all comes down to science, a deep cosmic science. What science is discovering is always wonderful and just phenomenal. I love it because it really starts to support what what you've been understanding, at least what I'm seeing. Science comes along and supports it. What I also recognize, though, is that science is only always seeing as much as the scientist is even able to open their minds to as a possibility. So none of anything that science discovers is ever going to be final. You know, reality is only showing itself to us according to where we are in our own evolution. And that could be on an individual level or on a mass level. So this thing is just like so much bigger than when we try to want to figure it out in like a little box, or it's just, that's what I see anyway. It's just, it's gigantic and humbling because whatever we know this moment, you know, we get off the show and we could end up having this profound awareness. Okay. So now reality changes for us again.
Yeah.
That is very true. That's the one argument I used to always have with my dad and a lot of the really religious folks, that I said, we don't know everything and things are always changing. So why is your belief system always the same when everything is constantly changing? I mean, you're not even your same body you were a few minutes ago. Because the cells in your body are constantly changing.
Oh my God, you caused problems. I know you did. Oh my God. Yeah, well, they're like, oh my gosh, did you get an exorcism? Did they?
Huh? Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm the devil, you know. So
that is so funny, though. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Now, and that people have a hard time with that. I used to work with a guy. It was so funny. He was a Christian, and one day I said to him, I said, Carl, how do you know you're not dead right now? Oh, my God. He's like, that's just ridiculous. He's like, this desk is like, I can knock on this desk, and it's real. I'm like, well, what's real? But that was a long time ago. Now I probably wouldn't do that. But I mean, it's the shock treatment, you know, with people, and you see how stuck they are on the package of something that somebody told them. They have nothing to support it. They don't question it, but this is what the minister said, and this is what their grandmother, you know, and the great grandmother and the whole strain of ancestors have, you know, been in this religion forever. You know, just like you choose a political party. Well, you know, my grandfather was a Republican and we're diehard Republicans. Well, what does that mean if it's all a bunch of crap that both sides are doing? What does that matter? You know, this is the same thing. We have to belong. That's the program, though, is you come in and you need to belong to a religion. And then, you know, it's religion, and then, of course, education, and then you got all the little clubs and cliques that you need to be a part of. It's like you need to be a part of. That's just the way it is. It's a group mind process that we have going, and we don't realize it. It's very Borg-like. It's just that the illusion is that we are doing our own unique things, but it's a very tricky process. It's very tricky because you're part of another program, another group, but it just makes you feel like you're choosing when it all ends up being kind of the same thing. You just get to choose. Well, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, well, I'm a Catholic. Oh, well, I'm this, I'm that. But in the end, all you have is a package. Somebody just handed you your little travel deal and go, okay, here you go. Here's your tour. This is what you're going to be doing on this this trip here on Earth. You're going to be a Jehovah's Witness, and you're going to be standing out by the store handing out Watchtower, whatever that is. I think that's what it is.
Doing God's work.
Yeah. Doing God's work. And you're not knocking them, because that is their journey. That is their experience. That is what they believe. And you will get stoned if you try to change their mind, if they are not ready to see something else. I just see it as humorous. And at the same time, there is a beauty in it, because that being has convinced itself that whatever it is they're doing is real, and it is the ultimate, and that is what they're going to be doing. And nobody changed their mind, because you're going to hell. They're not, but you're going to hell.
Yeah. This is great, because right as you said that, I'm sitting here looking at a passage out of one of the things you wrote on your website. I was going to read, and I'm going to go ahead and read it now, and because it fits perfect. So, a great actor must make the part believable. This you have done so well that even you are convinced, and to convince you otherwise could be dangerous. Could be a dangerous feat to anyone who attempts to do the convincing. However, there is no need to convince anyone that they are trapped in a character, for they must play out these roles. When we become tired of playing the same part repeatedly, only then are we ready to return on occasion to who we are beyond these roles. Our acknowledgement of this theatrical experience returns us to our creative space as writers of reality. I just love that. That was I think that's on that's on your Breaking Character article
Right. That was something we did in the workshop too, and you know, and the people that were in the workshop, as a matter of fact, I think I wrote that maybe a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last year, but they have been in the workshop for the last couple of years, and these people are, I mean, it's so different. And when I say that they've been in any workshop I've done for the last couple of years, trust me, it's not like a regular workshop where you're in this group mind thinking. It's completely different. You're doing your stuff yourself. You have to make this happen yourself. It's no memorized stuff. You're doing the work yourself. That's just the bottom line of it. That's just the way it is. You have to do it yourself. And when they started to realize more about these characters, these roles they play, it's funny. It's hysterical. even when you're, I've had times where I'm upset and I'm crying, and then I'll stop and I'll start laughing because I realize how serious, I'm playing this role right now.
I hope you're not doing that in public.
No, I try not to.
Yeah, we got a nice padded room for you. Come on.
Oh my God! Yeah, I'm sure they put me away. But it is funny, and I think that's the beauty, though. And it really allows you to let everybody else be. Like, your way doesn't have to be everybody else's way, because each person represents the whole, and with that said, it's like each person's responsibility is to bring a level of uniqueness to the experience. So the ultimate force, or the ultimate source that flows through all things and is all things, is really sort of enjoying all the possibilities that it can be. And that person just happens to be in a character that is the most limiting experience possible. And they're playing that, and you've moved from that space. It's like you get it now, and you've moved from that space, and you're moving into another level of the game experience. And that alone was freeing in allowing everybody to be. And as you change, you do send a ripple. There is an effect for those people who are ready to be part of that experience. Somehow you create a ripple, in your version of reality. And so reality starts to look a little different for us, for the individual.
So I do a little exercise myself, or one of my personal practices is I use the third person perspective on my own thought process, especially whenever I find myself, and we all do it, seeing something or somebody says something, and I get that negative response that pops into my head immediately. Oh, what an idiot, or whatever it happens to be. And I'll check myself, and then I'll take that and ask myself, okay, where did this come from? And to work through it to find out whether or not the guy's really an idiot,
maybe I'm an idiot
for thinking he's an idiot because of all the conditioning that I've gone through for the last 50 years,
Oh, it's funny though, it's true, because I just did that today too, with someone, and I'm thinking, God, what an idiot. So I did do that. I did that earlier today. So I completely understand. And then it is funny as heck, when you step back and you're looking at it, because that person is in your space for some reason or another. They're in your reality, in your little hologram.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is all quite interesting. It is quite funny. So if everybody started to get, a lot of those things and really start understanding that. And you said something that was really important, and that is what all the programming is in this particular life anyway for you for the last umpteen years that would make you figure, is this guy an idiot or not? Because we're using these filters. Oh, look at that person. What is he wearing? Because I say that, I'm like, oh my God, what is he or she wearing? Why would you have white socks on with those sandals? and then you think, you're like, but who wrote the rule on that? It's like, who wrote these rules? But that's our programming. We know certain combinations based on our own programs here, they just don't go together. But says who? So all of that becomes absolutely funny, because it really makes no sense whether he wears white socks or not. Who cares? It's like, who cares?
So what is real? What is common sense then?
What is common sense?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, common sense is a dual thing here. There's common sense based on what the programming of reality you know, looks like. There is the common sense in there according to the specific rules and guidelines and layout of whatever it is you're dealing with. There, you know, everything has its own specific rule and guideline. So, you know, so you're evaluating things based on that. That's why you don't have any common sense. Why, you know, why would you do that? And common sense based on, you know, whose opinion? We all say that. I mean, I've said that to my kids. Are you an idiot? What's your common sense? You know, so it's based on that. And then there is, you know, common sense to me, then the deeper level of common sense would really be more about if I tuned in, if I listened, and if I picked up on whether this action that I'm about to take is, how is this going to result for me? Now, so then we could look at that as another level of common sense, and that's just purely tuning in and paying attention. So, you know, so there's the program one, and then there's the just tuning in and just feeling. But common sense for most people, when they say common sense, it's generally based on the program. Well, why are you driving? Why are you driving your car without your license? Well, that's stupid. Don't you have any common sense? You know, you'll get stopped. If you get stopped, you know what's going to happen. Well, there you go. Now, that's the program. The program of fear is because we know how that turns out, because that's the blueprint for that part of the system, the law, how it works. And we're all wired with that. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. I was thinking about something we were talking earlier, and dealing with the same thing as common sense, how you have on our reality here, you have a group of people, a large number of people who pretty much follow the herd mentality.
No. Where'd you get that from?
Common sense. No.
Yeah, common sense.
So I was on a grander scale, are we, those of us who are quote unquote awakening, are we just following a different herd? Is it still the same herd mentality, but on a grander scale? So instead of just being the average person, now we're following maybe the spiritual herd or
well, it's you know, it depends. It's up to you. If you find that you are in a particular group of thought and that's the only way, and it's, you know, and whoever you're with, you know, in most kinds of groups, it's like that is the only way that you can focus, think, so on and so forth. Then you're following. Then you are following the herd. But I see awakening or moving in the spiritual sense in a way where it's a free flow. You're just flowing. You have no restrictions or boundaries because you so trust that inner guidance that you're just moving in this flow. You see, that's how I see it. That's how I function. That's how you know, I encourage everybody else that comes in contact with my work to do that. There is no particular set way. Everybody isn't going to be on the same level. Trust that, feel that, and then you're part of this flow as opposed to being a part of another kind of a herd mentality kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was questioning, Sonia, is that inner guidance. That's what I meant when I said galactic.
Oh, is the inner guidance, could you be following something else?
Like another herd, but on a grander
scale. On another
scale.
Level? Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's stuff I've written about. Oh, those are really big ones. They're really tough ones because, again, there's so much involved in that. And there's definitely a level where you could, but you are going to know, I really trust that. That's my sense, is that you're going to know according to how you are responding to what you feel that inner guidance is. I have talked, spoken a lot about, and again, I'm not knocking this, but I've talked quite a bit about, you know, channeling, people doing channeling, and some of the things where, you know, people are looking to a particular, what we would, they call it ascended master or a particular whatever, for complete guidance or whatever the case may be. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, you decide. Some of it, in my opinion, that's how I see it. I see it as some of it is very questionable because I do feel and do know that there are levels outside of this one where manipulation, you know, goes on. We, after all, are sort of mimicking, you know, everything is sort of a copy of the next, another level and another level in different ways.
As above, so below, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then I wrote an article a while back called the Universal, I think it said the Universal Corporation, that did kind of address those things. It's a pretty good, long enough article that sort of went into some of those things that, you know, our corporate system here and this hierarchical structure that we have here is, you know, sort of it's a duplication of another system above this one, you know, that is set up like that. There's always somebody at the top of that pyramid, at the top of that apex, and then there's always the people at the bottom, you know, running things. So I definitely agree that there you can have that happen. But I say there's a way to know.
So there's so many changes going on the planet right here, just in the physical realm. Forget all this other stuff. I'm a guy, got my head in the program that I've been playing my whole life by being programmed. I'm looking out. There's lots of changes happening. I mean, look at all the turmoil in the Middle East. Look at our financial system. Look at just look at the natural stuff happening in the last few years. All this different things going on. If we look at that as above, so below scenario, what kind of stuff's going on the level above us?
Oh, well, okay. So you ask simple questions.
yeah. I like
it. What kind of stuff is going on in levels above us? That's another really kind of tough question because there are multiple levels. This whole experience we call reality is so multi-layered, and I think that it just depends on what we are streamed into. I mean, I think that reality as we collectively view reality, and that's even a big statement that I'm making because, again, we can't see the whole world. We just see slices of it or pieces of it, which is what we are interacting with on a daily basis. Everything else is what we see on a video or pictures or images or whatever it is. We have to read it because we can't see everybody in the world. So we don't even really know what the world is. I mean, so I could go all over the place with this. I mean, just to really give people an idea as to the fact that how much do we really know about anything, what we think we know or where we think we are. And in terms of the layers, you know, outside of this time and space, again, which is how you end up having like the Lord Maitreya movement and that sense that, you know, we're always looking up to the sky. We're always looking up to something else or someone else. So just as we have the corporate structure, there are different levels. That's what I see anyway. There are different levels of control that are going on outside of here. Now, what do we call outside of here? Because now here we are, we see reality the way we see it. But what we also have to remember is that we are functioning here on a particular frequency where you and I we see each other. We can imagine that we must be seeing the same things. We see the trees and the chairs and the this and the that. Okay, so we are functioning for the most part then on the same frequency in terms of what our brains are wired to see, the general blueprint of what this reality as we know it is supposed to look like. But what if there are they're just another level, another frequency, another above this one that is still right here. You know, there are beings who have managed to move into other levels of frequency, and they could be very much still part of what we call Earth, but operating on a different frequency. And I think science is actually recognizing these, you know, there are layers. That's why everything exists here in this here and now. It's just different frequencies, you know, different levels that everything is really kind of operating on. So you can see how if you're a part of what we define as this reality and you see how limited this reality is and you see how kindergarten-like the beings in this reality are, you could see how if there are beings who have mastered or their brains are able to have expanded or enough, or other parts of their brain have opened up enough to tap into and be part of another frequency of reality. We wouldn't necessarily see it that way. We wouldn't maybe necessarily see them. And if we do, then they suddenly become gods to us. So that's why I say it's such a big question, because now what we're dealing with is cosmic technology.
So, right. Yeah, Sonia, we're coming up to the end of the hour. I want you to hold
that
thought.
I hope that makes sense, by the way.
It does to me, absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So we want to give you the opportunity to let our audience know what's coming up for you and how they can get a hold of your material.
Well, my website, of course, is my main website is spiritinform.com, and there's lots of stuff on there. I also need to make sure that anybody who's in Los Angeles, I'm speaking next week, what is that, September 17th, or I think it's September 17th or 18th, it's a Sunday, in Long Beach at the Alchemy Conference. And in October, I'm also I'm on the Ascension panel for the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles. And then I'll be in Kentucky in December for the Pythagoras Conference.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then I have a documentary that I'm working on called The Business of Disease, and that's thebusinessofdisease.com. And they can check it out, and anybody who wants to support the film, we would more than welcome any support that we can get for the film.
Great. Good stuff. Well, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance, and I will hope you guys pop on over to the archives and listen to the second hour with Sonia. Boy, we really just got the juices really flowing there right at the end there, and I just like, oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Jeez. So make sure you check our website at www.thehundredthmonkey.com and tune in to Brooks coming right up next, and then come back and visit us at the archive page. Have a good night. Thank you.